Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Chiseled. Why do we call it Chiseled? Because we're all work in progress. Hello, I'm Rob Commodore. I'm your host. I'm also the author of Better Than You Think. And today's guest is Lauren Donahue. She is originally from Valley Center, Kansas, and now living in Los Angeles. And I just had this thought, well, I didn't even tell you this in our conversation, that when I thought about Kansas and Lauren, right, and I'm like, okay, Los Angeles, was she like Dorothy getting swept up in a tornado and landed in Los Angeles, California? You know, the Wizard of Oz, the Land of Oz. I just thought about it so much.
Yes, it's true. I followed the yellow brick road from Kansas to California. This is where I landed.
There you go. She's going to tell us quite a story, maybe a couple stories here. So I just met Lauren, a couple months ago through a mutual friend, because we had been talking about maybe setting up a weekend retreat for personal growth and development and helping people grow and become the best version of themselves. And so my friend Scott Wurzbacher introduced me to Lauren Donahue, and she is lively. She's alive. You're going to hear her energy. If you see a video clip, you're going to see her energy. She's got a smile that just lights up the day, and I'm excited to chat with her. So today's podcast is going to be about being unplugged. And so, Lauren, what I'd like to start out with, I'd love for you to share with the story, like how you came up with this unplugged idea that you have, because it's really interesting.
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, thank you for having me. I'm honored to be here, and shout out to Scott for introducing us. I love the way that life works and the pieces just come together and we get connected. So I'm excited to be connected with you and your community here and everybody that's listening. So thank you for that. As far as unplugged, it's a really cool story because, you know, most of my life I've spent pretty plugged in. I've had access to technology. There's never really been a time where I wasn't in a place where I had an outlet. And so in 2014, I ended up in a place with zero goose egg outlets. And if you can even imagine that, I think if we all just looked around in the space we're in right now at how many things we're plugged into, I have a red light plugged in, I have two fans plugged in, I have my computer plugged in, I have my phone plugged in, my curling iron plugged in, lamps. It's bizarre to think about how many things daily that we're plugged into, literally, and then also figuratively, right? And so when I found myself in this place with no outlets, it was a cave, just for everyone that's listening. It was a cave. I had a lot of time to think. I ended up living in that cave for 60 days. So 60 days in a cave. Time with no outlets, no technology, no devices, nothing to plug into. And I really thought about how I thought I couldn't survive without my fan. I called my fan my biggest fan, and I would take my fan with me to, like, if I went to spend the night somewhere or even traveling, I would put a fan in my luggage. It would take up the majority of my bag to have this fan with me because it brought comfort, right? Comfort being I could sleep when I had the fan noise, or if I have my smoothie maker, then I can be comfortable because I'm getting my nutrients that I need and my phone to connect with people. And so there's all these things that I thought I really needed to survive, that I thought if I didn't have this, I won't survive. But I had an awakening, if you will, with that on what we actually need to survive. And truly, it's in these spaces where we're really uncomfortable that we grow the most. And so I would say that was, in my entire life, the most uncomfortable I've ever been is when I lived in that cave.
But what led to the cave? I mean, the story about, if I can say it, the reality part, the reality TV show part, please.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it was a show, and I was anonymously submitted by someone from my co-ed softball team. They wrote, Lauren needs somewhere to unleash her inner competitive nature, not on the co-ed softball team. So, and I will say 8 years later, it's still anonymous. The person has not come forward. And I think it's probably because of the condition that I came out of the cave in that they felt so bad about. So they were like, I am never going to tell her that this is what happened. So in that cave, I learned a lot of life lessons. I'm happy to share a few of those here. But one of the biggest lessons is how many things we plug into literally and figuratively, right? So there was a time in my life where I would plug into retail therapy, spending money. I would plug into alcohol. I don't drink anymore. And this is a lot of this has to do with this experience and experimental things and relationships, just a lot of things I was plugging into that brought maybe temporary pleasure, or it would fill a void where I was really seeking happiness and I was seeking it externally and all these other outlets. And in this time in the cave, when I got real quiet and real still and had a lot of time to think, I kind of started having these visions of all of these cords plugged into different things and me reaching for each of those and grabbing them and plugging them into myself, into my source. And for me, that's God. And so I was really plugging into myself, unplugging from the external, plugging into the internal. And it was like in this moment, my whole entire life made sense. All the dots connected back of why that relationship didn't work out, why I didn't get that job, why I moved to that new city, things that I couldn't really explain at the time. Things when you kind of think to the world's ending, life is over, everything that I wanted, I'm not getting, what I'm praying for, I'm not getting. But it all made sense in that moment, that really all the answers that ever were or ever will be are within us. And when we get quiet enough and still enough to go in and actually hear from God instead of telling God what we want, wow. And we actually get to hear what's for us, then it makes sense. And that's when my purpose came to the surface. I finally knew my why. I had always thought if I wasn't a professional athlete or a professional musician, then God just forgot about me. You know, what about me?
Right.
And I got clear that my purpose here, my why here, is to facilitate relationships so we can all live in a more connected world, period. And when I look back on my life, that's all I'm ever doing is connecting people, bringing people together so they know that they belong, that they have a reason to be here. Or my grandpa would say a raison d'etre, which is French for reason for being. As long as you know that, you will keep moving forward. And so that is where Unplugged was born.
That's amazing. You know, the irony of what you said there, though, you said this unplugged experience that you had led to a purpose of connecting. So unplug and connecting, you know, polar opposites, right? And
yeah,
so
yeah.
I think that's so awesome. You had to get unplugged to learn how to connect. I think right. That's an awesome story. And thank you for sharing that. So I got, there's a lot to quote unquote unplug here, unpack. So you're in a cave. You're in a cave for 60 days and you were with some other people, correct?
Yes. Yes. There were actually six of us living, quote unquote, in the past. That was the cave. There were also six people living in the future. And we were separated by a glass wall. So therefore, we could see everything they had that we did not have. And they could see everything that we didn't have, right? So there was a lesson there in, at some point, I invited our group, the cave mates, to stop looking over there at the things that we didn't have and be focused on what we did have and be grateful for that. And that really helped us to move forward in there because we weren't coming from this lack scarcity of, oh, look at all the amazing things that they have that we don't have. And then feeling like we were less than or we weren't enough, right? But we actually were so grateful for what we did have. And that changed, that shifted everything. So I took that lesson out into life outside of the cave as well. Of I don't need to be scrolling Instagram, looking at the cars and the houses and the relationships that I don't have. I get to be so grateful for the apartment I have and the car I have and the family I have, that this 5 years ago is the dream life that I wanted. And so to remember that instead of always wanting something more external beyond reach.
Yeah, that is amazing. And it's an amazing lesson there because, you know, I think we all suffer from that because we so much want this, 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 and this. And we're always thinking about achieving and getting and attaining instead of looking within and saying, man, what do I have? And how can I be so grateful for what I have? So that's an amazing lesson there. So the other question I have for you is, okay, you're there 60 days and you said you found your purpose, you found your why. You didn't find it on day two, right? I'm assuming you didn't find it on day two, right?
No.
So you there was it the first like week, 2 weeks, you're like, you're really struggling and finally you had to settle yourself down and then finally you got quiet and then it started to come to you. And we didn't have a conversation about this audience, by the way. So I'm asking, cause I'm assuming that's what I would picture or envision. So can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, I went through all the phases. I know there's, I think, five phases of almost grief, which is something that happens when something changes, something that life as we knew it is no longer the same, whether we lose a family member or lose a job or just the relationship dynamic changes, right? So I feel like in this situation, number one, I felt almost deceived because I thought the show was called The Fierce Competitor. And so I thought I was going to do something to compete for $100,000 where I would be jumping out of airplanes and hiking crazy mountains and come back in the best shape of my life. And really it was completely the opposite. And the show was called Opposite Worlds. So it was opposite of what I had thought, you know, I was going into. And it was really something that was going to shed everything off of me and every material thing. We actually went into it not owning anything. So that was another huge life lesson for me, is that in life, everything is borrowed. We actually don't own anything. We don't own our parents. We don't own our cars. We don't own anything. Can be taken away in the blink of an eye. So to be so grateful for the time that we do get, right, in those.
Wow.
So I went through those stages, I think, of grief, of like, I was angry. I was upset because
in the cave, you were upset in the cave.
Yeah, I was mad, but it's not like I was externally showing that or being angry at anybody, but internally I was going through these phases of, wow, I feel like I was lied to. I feel like I was betrayed. What is this? Am I on punked? What is happening? I really didn't know at first. I was very confused. And I think that's part of like anger. You're confused, things like that. Maybe even denial of like, am I really here? Because we were stripped of everything. We actually were blindfolded and stripped down and put into like cave outfits and everything. All of our luggage, our cell phones, our tech, everything was taken away. I didn't see that again for almost 70 days. Anything that I actually quote unquote owned, right? And so there was that phase. I also was really hungry and really cold. It was during a polar vortex. This is in Louisiana. And it was like negative 13 degrees, sleeting ice, and we're in cave, you know, we didn't have blankets, and it was basically like anything that you wanted, you couldn't have. So if you had an itch, there was nothing to scratch it. You know, if you had like bumps from something biting you, you couldn't put ointment on it. You couldn't put blankets on to get warm. You couldn't get warm food because you're hungry. So you're hungry, you're almost starving. I lost 30 pounds in that time, and I didn't have 30 pounds to lose. So I kind of went through those stages of being confused, angry, sad. And then it came to acceptance, right? It came to acceptance. And I thought, okay, this is my life. And I really believed at that time, I think because I was kind of emaciated, not getting nutrients, losing a lot of weight, this was my life now. Like, this is my new normal. This is how I'm moving forward. I sleep outside in the dirt. I don't have 17 pillows like I normally have on my bed. I don't have my fan. I don't have my eye mask, which I did end up using a squirrel skin to put on my eyes. A squirrel skin. That was.
I got to ask, how'd you get a squirrel skin? How'd you get that?
It was in there. It was in the cave. You know, I think they left a couple things in there that for whatever use. So it got to acceptance. And then I got to whatever the next phase after that is, I would say probably happiness. Like, I became happy in the environment. And I would say this all happened over, it happens pretty quick in there. I would say over like 21 days. And then I was happy. I felt like this was my new normal. I could live like this with the bare minimum, right? Bare, like not eating much food, not having the comforts of the normal world, and just enjoying, and this is where it gets good, human connection and real, deep, meaningful conversation. Because that's all we did in there. We didn't have anything to distract us. So we came up with fun hand games, and we came up with, you know, okay, name movie quotes, and then the last letter takes you into the next one. We just got creative. And then we also, I mean, those people that I was in the cave with, one of them became my best friend, and we ended up hiking Kilimanjaro together after
that.
We're
going to talk about that in a couple minutes here too.
Yeah. So it was cool because I thought, gosh, I know more about her than I know about my friends I've been friends with for 20 years, because we're not present anymore. We're distracted. So even when people are telling us stuff about their family, their grandpa, their grandma, their sister, we're not listening. Like, we're not really listening to where, like, I could recite back everything from the time she was born until that present moment about her and her favorite color and her favorite food and what she wants to do with her life. So those people that we met there, and I have another one, she wasn't in the cave with me. She was in the future. We connected afterwards. But we became best friends, and she actually ended up living above me during the lockdown. So we then were separate. We were in another like secluded lockdown sequester. Yeah. But now we got to really connect. So I learned a lot about human connection, the power of it, and how it's absolutely necessary to live a happy, healthy life.
That's awesome. I have so many questions. I'm jotting down notes as you're talking here. So now, have you carried this simplicity outside of that cave into the rest of your life now? Is it a carryover?
I completely changed in that cave. I've never been the same. That's for sure. I was very OCD prior to that, but I had never organized the woods. Like I had not organized sticks and things like that. So I used to like, even if I went to somebody else's home and I saw that their picture frame was a little off, I would adjust it.
You're one of those.
Yeah. I would be lining up things. I would not let my pillows get on the floor. My pillows could not touch the floor. So there was many things that when I got out of there that just didn't seem important anymore. My pillows can go on the floor now. It's okay. It's not the end of the world. Things don't always have to line up. I'm not so organized. There's parts of me that I appreciate the organization and detail, you know, attention to detail and things like that. But I definitely wasn't the same. Now, I also got very used to just going to the bathroom in front of people because there was just a hole that we all had to go in. And so when I got out of there, I would say to the regular world, I was weird. Like, right? Because if there was a long line in the women's restroom, I would just go in the men's restroom. And like, that was so weird to people, but I was so used to just going to the bathroom in front of guys and girls and everything. I didn't care. And I also, another interesting thing is that I wanted to ask permission for everything. Because in there, you had to ask for permission for everything. And the answer was pretty much no. So I would be like, can I open the blinds? Is it okay to open the blinds? Can I go here? Can I do that? So it was really weird for my family and friends at first because they're like, of course you can. Why are you asking us to do that? Yeah. But my brain almost reprogrammed during that time. And it's I kind of equate it to or would relate it to, and I've never been in prison or homeless per se, but I felt like a homeless person in prison because the answer was no to everything. We couldn't get out. We were like locked in there. We didn't get actually a bed and a pillow and three warm meals. We had to like create, you know, make our own and stuff. But also we didn't get to brush our teeth. We didn't get to wash our hair. We didn't get to brush our hair. We didn't get to shave. There was a lot of things where I thought, man, this is kind of probably like homeless people probably deal with this. And that was my lesson on gratitude. I thought going into this, I was the most grateful person that you wouldn't be able to find a more grateful person on the planet than me. I signed my emails with gratitude, Lauren. I'm so grateful when I see a palm tree 14 years later living in LA. But I realized I wasn't grateful for 14 pillows on my bed. I wasn't grateful to brush my teeth in the morning, right? I wasn't grateful to floss my teeth. I was finding hay to try to floss my teeth. But there was these little things that I realized I took for granted every day that just were like habitual. Like I just got up and I did that. And when I was thirsty, I would drink water. When I was hungry, I would eat. You didn't get to do that in the cave. You didn't get to immediately have instant gratification for everything. It was all very delayed, if ever. So yeah, it was like, wow, the lesson on gratitude and how, so I did come out of that very grateful and beyond grateful, so much more grateful than I was before. But you do lose a little bit of it, like as you get back, and now you're eventually.
I understand.
So yeah, I do take some of that simplicity with me for sure.
That's awesome. The so many thoughts come to my head. You mentioned the word prison here, but you had gave me a thought or memory of when you said you guys were in your cave and you had nothing, you couldn't connect anywhere else. So you talked to each other, got to know each other. It reminded me. It's a section in my book where I went to prison as a guest. Let me make that clear, as a guest, I might add. And I went in to talk to a group of guys. And I was giving a presentation. It was for Toastmasters, and I was the guest speaker, and 10 guys had to evaluate me. And what had happened is I do the presentation, and the 10 guys are going to evaluate me. They went into another room to get all their notes together to evaluate the speech. They go in the other room, and in between the time they went to the room, within like, I'd say like 30 seconds, some inmate comes in from out in the courtyard with a bloody lip, and we have a lockdown. There's a total lockdown in a prison. So I'm in a room with 10 inmates and I'm just chatting with them and I'm getting to know them and I'm listening. Right. And I'm like, it's so cool when you're present. Cause you, like you said, you had nothing else to do. Well, we had nothing else to do. I couldn't go anywhere else. We're in a room with 10 guys and I'm getting to know them. And it was so cool and such a neat experience. So remind me of that. So it's really cool. But here's a thought for you too. you go into this thing and it's like a game, right? It's a reality show. It's a game,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you have what I would assume is a spiritual experience, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Did it take a while to figure out this is a spiritual experience, or you knew when you were finding out that gratitude piece that, man, this is spiritual, to hell with the game. This is a renewal for me. Did you have those feelings?
What was really cool is I was told by some producers, there were like over 1 million people that applied for this show. And from there, they selected 30 people to be taken to a hotel and sequestered. That was the first part. I was sequestered to a hotel room for 10 days. It was a nice hotel room, but they took the technology out of there and our technology. So I was reading books, but I wasn't talking. You weren't allowed to talk to anybody. So I think that was the first time in my life that I didn't really talk for 10 days to anybody, right? But from those 30 people, they picked 12. Okay. That number to me is significant, right? 12 disciples. And I remember having this discussion with God when I was in the hotel room, and I thought, okay, God, you obviously brought me here for a reason. And was it just for these? Cause I had breakthroughs in those 10 days. I mean, I had so many breakthroughs just sitting by myself for 10 days in a hotel room. And I thought, was it just for that? Because I've grown already. I'll never be the same because of these 10 days. But if there's something more for me, and you have me here for a purpose, and I need to be wherever this, because I didn't know where I was going at that point. If I was one of the 12, I didn't know what the show was, what was going to go on, anything like that. And so I was like, if there's something more for me there to learn, then you'll take me there. And if not, I'll go home. And either one I'm okay with. So this was my lesson in detaching from the outcome. I was not attached to, I have to get picked, I have to get selected. And if I don't get selected, that means I'm not enough, I'm not pretty enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not good enough. I didn't make it mean anything. I was just like, take me where I need to go to grow the most. And God took me to that cave. Wow. And I didn't know it was going to be a cave either, which is like, wow, okay. Strip me of everything I've known, give me the opposite of what I was desiring in this. I wanted to come back in great shape. Now I'm coming back emaciated. It's going to take me a year to recover. Truly, it did take me a year. And so God took me there. So I knew I was there for a reason. So I was so open to the lessons and learnings. And then too, like part of this is some person got eliminated in 24 hours. So God wanted me there 60 days, not 24 hours, but it's like each day that I was there, I'm like, oh, there's more. Cause I was having a breakthrough every day. And I thought there's more. So there were so many, I should write a book on the lessons that I learned in the cave. Just truly, there's so many.
What are you going to title that book? Unplugged?
Yeah. Unplugged. Yeah. Cave times. What about the cave times? Remember the cave times? Yeah. So yeah, unplugged for sure. But yeah, so I knew I was there. So I was very open to all the lessons that were coming through. And so I knew it was a spiritual experience. I knew it was where I was planted and meant to be for that season and that time in my life. But I did not know that it would birth my new brand of Unplugged. I did not know that going into it because I didn't know I was going to be Unplugged.
right. So tell us, well, before we talk about the brand though, I do have one more, I guess, note here, side note. You said you went through those five stages of grief, let's call it, right? And the betrayal, you were hungry, you were a little angry, you went through that part of acceptance and then happiness. So I guess the message, it's almost that I want people to hear is that in this time when things were taken away from us, because in real life, sometimes things are taken away from us and we're angry, right? We're resentful, we're pissed off.
Yeah.
But then when we learn to be open, because you used the word open a couple times.
Yeah.
When we learn to be open and say, okay, what is the lesson in this moment for me? You know, for gosh sake, you go into a contest as a game and you have this spiritual experience and like, you know, God's working on you through a game, right?
Yeah.
And so I guess the message from people here is it's in quietness, in quiet time, in silence, in solitude. If we pay attention and even have, like you said, have a conversation with God, things come to you. And it's in those quiet times and detaching yourself from whether it's the electronics or the noise, if you will, and then just be open and let it come in. And it's so amazing, so beautiful that you had that experience and you're still having these experiences, which leads to your brand, if we could talk about for a little bit.
Yeah, I just, something you said there too was so important. And it's this idea of taking a time out on purpose. And a lot of times, you know, when we were younger, we get sent to timeout. What did they do? They took our devices away. So we had this time by ourselves in silence to reflect on our behavior, how we may have impacted someone. And I can only speak for myself, but when I would come out of timeout, I would apologize and say, I'm sorry for my behavior and what I did and how I hurt you, right? But what happened in 2020 lockdown is everyone got to timeout with their devices. So in a time where people, it looked like there was an illusion of connection, we're more connected than ever, but we really were more disconnected than ever because we were behind these screens and it was just like overstimulation and we weren't taking the true time to reflect and think about and take that. So when lockdown happened in 2020 for me, I was actually really grateful for the time to reflect and I decided not to be on the device. And I think it was a very different time because of the cave experience for me when all of the rest of the world was angry and upset that there wasn't food on the shelves and they couldn't leave their house and they couldn't do all these things. I was grateful for, I did have food. It might not have been the food I wanted, but I had food. I had my bed. I had a shower. I had shelter. I felt like a queen. So I had a different perspective because of something that I had experienced. And so really important just for everyone listening to take timeouts on your own, intentional timeouts, and don't take the device with you. Leave it behind. Take a notepad maybe and just be silent and listen and allow things to come through. So
yeah, that's thank you for that inspiration. That was awesome to share that story. Yeah. So let's hear a little bit about the brand you were talking about.
Yeah. So are we talking about Unplugged?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So Unplugged, my grandfather, he's inspired. Anything that comes out of my mouth that resembles wisdom is definitely from my grandpa. And he really loved acronyms. One of his favorite acronyms that has always stuck with me was TEAM. Together, everyone achieves more or accomplishes more. He was my coach in several different sports and such a great leader and recruiter and all of that. And so when I came out of this cave experience, I wanted to start doing things unplugged. I didn't want to take a phone. And in fact, I never worried if my phone died. I wasn't looking for a charger. I left my phone at home when I would go to dinner with people. So if people were late, I just would leave. It was like old school. I'm like, well, they can't tell me because I don't have my phone, right? So you got to be on time.
I love it.
So it was cool because for a long time, for probably a year, I just really didn't take my phone around with me. And I wanted to create more of those experiences. And that's why my friend and I, who was in the cave, we decided to hike Kilimanjaro and not have our phones. So we had old school cameras that the guides had and they would take some photos. So we have some photos from that. And then we would go and do different things and do weeks or months without our phones unplugged. And then I thought, okay, how can I help other people? Because these are the most transformational times and I have the biggest breakthroughs when I'm unplugged. So how can I create something for other people to do on a daily basis that they don't have to go live in a cave or hike Kilimanjaro, right? And I thought, okay, let me use my grandpa's thing with acronyms. Let me use Unplugged and let me come up with 9 steps using the letters of Unplugged that people can do every morning when they wake up before they plug back into the world and the noise and the chaos and all the things that'll be waiting there for us, but truly to plug into ourselves first thing in the morning. And so I use that and I created the steps and they're really cool. They involve learning, reading, playing, gratitude, generosity, breathing, meditating, praying, all of that. So it's all included and you can do this in less than 10 minutes, but the whole idea is to fill up your cup first so that you can serve others from the overflow, right? And so instead of reaching for the device first, seeing the text message, seeing the email, seeing the missed call and remembering, oh shoot, I didn't send the person what they needed. Oh, I didn't do that thing. Don't these people know I'm so busy and I have all these things going on? You come from this reactive place versus a proactive place of, you know, love and responding with love. So all I do is I do this morning practice unplugged first, and then I reach for the device and I respond with love. And thank you for your patience. Thank you for that feedback. Oh, I'll get that to you today. You know, all that kind of stuff. It's just a different way of being. My way of being is different when I first wake up and stay unplugged. And I take advantage of that time, right? We've been resting for hopefully 8 hours, drink some water, nourish your body, rehydrate your body. But just take that time to be in silence, to breathe, to sit and listen and soak up the goodness that those beautiful unplugged mornings can bring for you.
That is incredible. So now that leads to some of your coaching, correct?
Yeah. And so I've helped people to do that. I created retreats where they're fully unplugged. And so we can go out in nature and unplug for 4 or 5 days. I coach people to host retreats, to plan, price, promote, sell them out, to create really epic itineraries and flow for transformation. And then after that, after all that, I started a coffee company in honor of my grandpa, because we've been talking about him. I don't think I've ever done a podcast, a discussion, a conversation without my grandpa being brought up. He always gets brought up. So he is a living, you know, he's living out his legacy through who he was when he was here.
So Lauren also has a coffee business. Let's call it a business. Okay.
Yeah.
I almost say coffee shop, but I know there's not a physical shop.
Right.
So she has a coffee business that was born from, was it COVID that you started the coffee business? You told me.
Yeah. So actually my Instagram account got hacked.
Right. Okay.
And so at the time I was running my entire business with brand deals, with retreats, everything through Instagram. So it would be like, say you wake up and your business has burned down. It's gone. It's kind of one of those things. It's borrowed, right? I didn't own it. It's borrowed because it was on Instagram. So there was no way I didn't know if I would ever get it back. So I couldn't follow through on deliverables and contracts. And so this was one of the moments where I got to practice what I preach. So instead of reacting, I decided to be proactive and respond with love for what is this teaching me? There's a reason why this is happening for me, not to me. This is not happening to me. I'm not going to go into victim blame mode of poor me. I'm going to go into what's next. Okay. If this is gone forever or even for a period of time, what do I want to do next? So I did my unplugged morning. I did everything as usual, got my journal out, got my coffee, was sitting there writing things out, praying. And I heard Grandpa in the back of my head, the cream will always rise to the top. The cream will always rise to the top. And this is something my grandpa used to say all the time. And you know, when you're younger, you kind of roll your eyes and run off, whatever, Grandpa, the guy doesn't like me. I didn't get what I wanted, and what he was really teaching me in that moment is, yes, some people get to the top quickly and they deserve it. Some people lie, cheat, steal, and they get there, but it's not sustainable. They don't get to stay at the top. But if you tell the truth, have integrity, have character, show up for the people you say you're going to show up for, do what you say you're going to do, all of that, and have patience, you will eventually get to the top and you get to stay there. And cream will always rise to the top. So I thought, oh, am I supposed to start a coffee company? And it was authentic to me because I loved coffee. I drank it every morning. And anytime I traveled, I wanted to find the best coffee shops. And I was like, this could be really fun. So I got on the phone that day, started calling everybody I knew that knew anything about coffee. I talked to 100 people over the next couple of weeks, ended up finding a roaster in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, found out about the farms, the beans. I did blind taste testing. Let me just give everyone a hint out there. If you ever want to start a coffee company, you don't actually have to blindfold the people that are drinking hot coffee. Just write it down on the bottom of the cup. Okay. I learned a lot through this process of starting my first real product-based business. It was hilarious. There were so many videos of the things that I was doing that were so silly that I didn't know were silly, but it was fun and it was a challenge. And I was determined to have that first roast that I named after my grandfather. So the Raleigh roast, we donate to Parkinson's Foundation in his honor. And I was determined to have that before he passed. And so he got to be the first taste tester of the Raleigh approved Raleigh roast. And it was amazing. And I have that on film too, and I'll cherish that forever. So yeah, I just decided to go all in on it because I didn't know what was going to happen with the other business, if it would be gone forever. And I gave my full time and attention to that.
That's amazing. I'm so like enamored by this conversation and your energy, the smile that I get to see on the screen, and others will see it later. But a couple of key things you talked about is like the borrowed thing, right? You keep moving forward. It seems like you're moving forward. You might have something and you have an obstacle, challenge, whatnot. And you're, okay, it's not mine anyway. I'm borrowing it. I've borrowed it. Now it's time for me to borrow the next thing and the next thing. And it sounds like, and correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like you're doing it in honor of God. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Without me putting words in your mouth.
Which is something that my faith came from the example that my grandma and grandpa set for me. I don't think I would have the faith that I have without them. You know, they had me in church from the time I was born, and encouraged me to come, and never made it an obligation. It was always an invitation, which is a huge difference in life, that I was invited. And so I wanted to be there. If I felt like I was obligated and they were making me, I probably wouldn't have gone. And so they were those type of people who were always inviting and just welcoming you with open arms and love, and never tried to tell you what to do, but showed me what to do through their example and who they were.
I'm almost speechless. That's so cool to hear. So, yeah. Because I think you said being invited instead of feeling obligated. I think a lot of times, you know, whether we're leaders or whether we're followers, sometimes you like, if you're a leader, you might make somebody feel obligated to do something. And the lesson right. here is to learn how to invite them over right. and over and over again, because that sounds like it's what happened with you. If you're the follower, you might have heard an obligation, and maybe, you know, you're fighting back or you're resisting instead yeah. of maybe have a conversation later on. You know, I'd be more open to do this if you just invite me in instead of telling me to do something.
Right.
Sound pretty cool, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's beautiful, whether that's in life, business, or relationships. Even in relationships, if someone is, you feel obligated to do something, even if you wanted to do it, you might rebel against that and go, even though you wanted to. But if they invite you, it's an invitation, not an obligation, you're going to go.
So I'm thinking as you're talking, like, invite people to do things, encourage them to do things, don't tell them to do things, right?
100%. And walk the talk, practice what you preach, and be that leader. Because, you know, I have lots of friends who just watch me go to church. They watch how I show up for my friends. And then all of a sudden they're in church with me. And it's like, there's an invitation. There's no obligation and there's no judgment. Right. But no. They see me living my life in the way that I lead and live my life. And they ask about certain things and I share. And if they want that same type of thing for their life, then they will go. That's what I do. I go where the leaders are, the ones I want to follow, that I like the way that they're leading their lives. And then I go there into those spaces to grow.
That's so wise, right? So, and you said something else. You said things, they happen for you, not to you. I've believed that. Mm-hmm. I've read that, but it's so easy to fall into a trap. Like, why is this happening to me? Why is it happening to me? Instead of saying, why is this happening for me? Mm-hmm. So instead of coming from a place of being a victim, coming from a place of curiosity, why is this happening for me? So you've done a really good job of that.
Yeah, I've always, like, I've seen it two ways, right? You can go down the victim route and see how far that gets you, right? A lot of times we hold on to our stories because we get something from them. It might be attention or people feeling bad for us or something. Or you can go down the victory or the victor route. It's like, do I want to, here's the situation, and there's two ways. Do I want to be the victim or the victor in this? And I just choose to go be the victor because it's more fun. I'm happier. I don't have to like wallow in anything. I just get to like go be because I know life is short, right? I know that, and I've lost a lot of people. They've changed form in my life. And when that happens, it's just like a reminder again that life is short, and I'm very intentional with how I want to live my life and the people I want to allow in and what I want to watch and read and listen to, all of that. Very aware of that and intentional.
I'm writing down a few notes here, like some of the words you're using: intentional, aware. Mm-hmm. You said reason for being, detached, right? Yeah. All these things are important. So like I hear, you didn't say it, but I hear the word surrender in all this as well. Right. And you say gratitude. So these are so many important words and phrases and things. If we just grasp on to what they really mean, because we all, like, you sit there and you hold your hands in front of you and you got these fists, there's tension and tightness. Mm. But when you open it up and let them go, there's like, call it relief and ease and calm. And look, I'm guilty of wanting to hold on. And I coach myself, hey, Rob, you know, you got to come from an abundant mentality and let go. And let go and detach yourself. And so I so loved you talking about these things being borrowed, because you can't take them with you.
Yeah, you really can't. Yeah. With something that you just said was a huge breakthrough for me. And it's something that I said in conversation once. Now, I've tried to look it up to see if it was quoted by anyone else. I think it's my quote. I haven't found it by anybody else. But what came to me was, Holding on to anything is blocking everything.
Oh.
Holding on to anything is blocking everything, right? So we think that if we're holding on to money, that we might be blocking money. But holding on to money, hoarding money, could be blocking the relationship, the blessing of your life partner that you've been looking for. Or holding on to a relationship, maybe that's not serving you, could be blocking the abundance in your bank account. So these things don't have to be directly related, but holding on to anything, grasping the way you were doing with your hands there, and it hurts too, right? Like my nails get pushed in, so it hurts. And so it's like holding on to anything. And not seeing it as borrowed, right? Seeing it as ownership. This is mine, that whole mine mentality type of thing. But holding on to that is blocking everything. So all those things when you're like, why is this not showing up? Why I'm ready for the relationship. Why is it not here? If you were ready and you had released so you can receive, then you would already have it. So if you don't have it yet, look at what you're holding on to that could be blocking everything that you're really wanting to come into your life. And really to what you said also, it's in that release that we can actually receive.
It's like in giving that we receive and releasing that we receive. So awesome. So Laura, before I let you go here, you know, you've had, I mean, this amazing ride in just 8 years, right? And I assume and hope for you that there's plenty of years left on your travels, right? Or your journey.
Yeah.
So how much more chiseling you got going on from God in your life? What do you think?
You know what's really cool? I love that we're having the conversation today, which we don't believe in coincidence, right? That all happens. Right. I had two conversations before this with people. One person I've known for 12 years, one I've known for 6 months, maybe. And I shared, there was a period of time where I almost like, I feel like I'm always learning and lessons are coming through. But today, some real breakthroughs came through. And I thought, I'm opening back up to completely new transformation, like new breakthrough that I almost had like closed off. And I don't know if that was related to losing, you know, my grandfather this last year and also another father figure 6 months after that. There might have been a time of like cocooning and closing off and not allowing lessons to be birthed and come through. But just today, I have felt like, wow, I'm opening back up to these awesome lessons and learnings. And I know that every single day I'm learning something. So I'm so open to that. And I can't wait, right? There's been such cool things and lessons that have come through, but I can't wait to see what's above that. Because I think as soon as something comes up, which a lot has come up, it's ready to come out. So a lot has been coming up for me and I know that's ready to come out. So I am excited for that, right? I'm excited just for the newness and to share that stuff with the world. Whatever comes up for me is for all of us.
That's so awesome. And you're awesome. You're awesome, by the way.
Thanks, you too.
So Lauren, if somebody wanted to get a hold of you to learn about this experience, to learn on how to get a game show, or the retreat coaching that you do, or just have a conversation with you on letting go and being unplugged, how would they get a hold of you?
Cool. Yeah. Instagram's a great place as long as I have it.
Right.
But Lauren L. Donahue, and I'm sure you'll put that in the notes, but at Lauren L. Donahue is my Instagram. It's also my email. So Lauren L. Donahue at Gmail. We also have Rise Wellness Retreats. So if you're interested in coming to a retreat or hosting your own, and then Lolly Coffee. So we have all of those Instagram accounts where you can find us for whatever is calling to you, a cup of coffee or some time unplugged in nature.
Well, thank you for doing that, Lauren. And I'll tell you, it's been a joy and a pleasure to chat with you. We've had a couple conversations. And again, if you could see the video, she just got a smile that lights up. I don't even need a light. She lights up this camera. She does. And she says, you hear her energy. You hear her enthusiasm. You hear the, whether you want to call it the Holy Spirit, God, you hear it in her. You hear it. Mm. So Lauren, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I'm grateful for you and your time. I'm looking forward to staying in touch with you. And until next time, everybody, let's go get chiseled.
Woo! Ha ha ha.